Okay, Trevor, so we are on Daf Yud-Tes Amud Aleph. If you remember, what we've been discussing is the halacha of an achsadra, right? Which, as you remember, is you have a portico and you want to put tzrach in the middle of the portico. That seems to be the case. And the Gemara has a comment that if the achsadra has pitzimin, if the achsadra has like ballasts that support it, so then it's going to count as a good, that those pitzimin will enable the sukkah to be kosher. If it does not have pitzimin, so if the ceiling of the portico is more than 4 amos, so I cannot say the rules of Dofen Akuma. So in that case, there's a machlokas as to whether we say Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosim. And the Gemara also tells us on Yotes Omer Aleph that once upon a time, Rav Ashi found Rav Kahana, and they're putting schach on top of an achsadra. It's achsadra she'en la. He's like, how does this work? What are you doing? So he says, well, he showed him, and last time we learned, I think we drew a picture of what nirah mibachutz is. That basically you have on the outside something that juts out. And because it's something that juts out from the outside, since in halacha, in areas of erevin, that counts as a mechitza, so also it's going to help le'inyin sukkah that it will enable this sukkah to be kosher. And we last time began a conversation that Tosos says at the top, I don't understand. How does nirim b'chutz v'shaveh mibifnim help at all? Right? I understand that it helps by Shabbos, Tosos says, because the issue at Shabbos is entirely an issue midrabanan. Right? The case of Shabbos is a case that on the level of Drabbanan, we want to know, can you carry in this area? There are three mechitzos already. So min ha-toira, you're allowed to carry. I have a little thing sticking out on the outside. I don't notice it from the inside, but it sticks out from the outside. Nirim b'chutz v'shavim helps, I understand, zaktaisis in that case, because there it is a din Dirabbanan, because you already have three full-fledged mechitzos. But how does Nirim b'chutz v'shaveh mibifnim help by sukkah? That's Tosis's question. Deep breath. So last time we learned, we mentioned that the Rush addresses this question. Did we do the Rush last time? Did we read the Rush inside? Did we paraphrase it? We read it inside? Or paraphrase or whatever. What does the Rush say? Rachel, you seem like all excited to tell me what the Rush said.
So he said two things. One was that in the situation you actually have a Surat HaPesach, and so in that case you only need two real walls in addition to that, Midiraita, and then the third wall would only be Durabanan. So that would help because then it's Durabanan. And then the other one is that, which I'm not sure if I like that one as much, but is that we don't say P.
You like the first one more or the second
I
one
like the
more?
first one better.
Okay.
But I think we said the second one, if I understood correctly, is that it does that we only don't say P. Tikra on a Dura-Bonan level, but on a Dura-Raita level, we do say P. Tikra.
Exactly. In other words, what the Rush is saying in the second answer is that on the level of De'oraisa, everybody is going to say Pi Tikra Yorid V'Sosim. The only question is whether on the level of De'Rabbanan we say Pi Tikra. And therefore, since it works Min HaTorah anyway, so we'll allow the Nira Mibachutz to help. That is the two approaches that are in the Rush. Now, what is interesting over here is that the Rambam and the Rif have a different take on Yiddishkeit, and it makes it to the Shulchan Aruch in Siman, where was it? Tafresh Lamed, Se'if Se'if Ches, is that where it was?
Yes, that's where it was.
Yeah, okay. So Tafresh Lamed Se'if Ches. So the Mechaber writes, Sikei Chagabe Achsadra Sheyesh L'Ptzimin, Bein Chayunir Mibethnim Ve'einir Bechutz, Bein Chayunir Bechutz Ve'einir Mibethnim, Kshera. Lo Hayula Ptzimin Psula. Right, if there are Ptzimin, it's okay, whether they are Nirim Bechutz or not. Ein la Ptzimin, it's not good. So far, this sounds like normal Judaism. Mipnei Shisuka Ha'asuya Kimbavoy, Sharei Ein la Ela Shnei Tzide Ha'achsadra, Ve'emta Achsadra Ein Bo Kotel, V'shekenegdo Ein la Ptzimin. And then the Ramah tells me that all of this is the Rambam, but others disagree, and therefore you should not make a sukkah like this. So how is it that the Rambam / Mechaber / first opinion of Shulchan Aruch, how are they drawing the case? And the Ramah is saying, don't do that. So what does it look like? So the Mishnah Brura kind of tells us the story a little bit. In Sifkatan Lamed Zayin, mostly. Basically, I think the way it works is like this. Let's draw our pictures. According to the Rambam, what I have are two walls, and there is an overhang on the side of these two walls. It's empty at the front, empty at the back. What I am doing is I'm going to try to make sukkah in the middle. According to the Rambam, when I talk about pitzimin, what I mean is that I have ballasts that stick out on the third side. The pitzimin is not like Rashi understood them to be, which are small ballasts, let's say, sticking up over here, right? That's the way we read it according to Rashi. And according to Rashi, they are within lavud, and it makes it like a halachic mechitza. For the Rambam, the pitzimin are poles that stick out on the third side. Now, ordinarily, we would not allow, here, let me erase this. Right? Ordinarily, we would not allow a sukkah to be kosher like this. If you have two walls and you have a little thing on the side, that does not make a kosher sukkah. The halacha that a sukkah could have two walls, and the third thing is when the two walls are perpendicular. When the two walls are parallel, this would not be a kosher sukkah. It's only a kosher sukkah if you have something that sticks out on like four tefachim, right? That's a pas dalet. That's the only way that would help on the third side. But nonetheless, in this case, the pitzimin help to allow us to say pi tikra, and therefore we have a third wall. So let's say it like this. Did I draw it wrong? I have a pi tikra here. I think I just drew the whole thing wrong. Let's erase it. I have two walls. On the third side, I have an overhang. Ordinarily, this would be no good. A mechitz, a sukkah with two walls is no good, right? I have two little pitzimin, which are two little things that stick out, which would ordinarily not be machshir, the third wall at all, because you usually need a pas dalet. You usually need four tefachim that sticks out. Over here, I don't have four tefachim. But, zok the Rambam, when I have pitzimin plus pitikra, I could drop this, and now that creates a third wall for my sukkah. That's the Rambam's image. That's the way the Rambam draws the picture. What the Rambam is basically saying is that we do not say pitikra yored v'sosein unless you also have some vertical boards. But the vertical boards, unlike Rashi, Rashi's saying the vertical boards themselves are the mechitza. Because according to Rashi, the vertical boards are within lovud of each other, and therefore it creates a mechitza. That's how the pitzimin helps, according to Rashi. For the Rambam, the pitzimin enables us to say pitikra yorid v'sosim. Pitikra for the Rambam is a great thing, but it only works when I have these pitzimin, right? Without the pitikra, these things would not help because it's just two parallel walls and the little thing sticking out, that would not help. But the pitzimin plus the pitikra, that helps according to the Rambam.
Can you clarify? So the overhang is where pitikra would happen? Edge of it?
I think so.
Okay.
In other words, do a different color. This is going to be my pitikra, right? I'm going to drop, right? This is wall one of the sukkah. This is wall two of the sukkah. The third wall I want to be over here, but I have an overhang. The overhang itself would not help, but an overhang together with the pitzimin, we will say yored v'sosim. Memela, according to the Rambam, when our Gemara says that if it is nireh mibachutz, that helps, it's a little bit more understandable because according to the Rambam, right, what I need is I just need something there in order to say pitikra. So even if that something is, even if that something is on the outside, right? But I just need some vertical structure to enable pitikra, so that's good enough. For the Rambam, pitikra is a very powerful tool, but it needs pitzimin. So the Rambam, right, is basically saying that pitikra enables the pitzimin, is enabled by pitzimin. You can't say pitikra unless you have those vertical boards. That's the only thing that allows me to say pitikra. But since the pitzimin are there to help the, pitikra work, so it's more understandable how come nireh mibachutz is sufficient. How come when the pitzimin are recognizable only on the outside, right, that works because of, what's it called? That works because the pitzimin are enabling the pitikra. Yeah, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah comments. He goes on, I think Zoe asked this on the Shir group chat, that if the defanos are kamin gam, right, gam is a Greek letter gamma, is this the way gamma works? Something like this? It looks something like that? Right? If you have it like this, if the two walls are like that, so that's the standard case of a mechitza with two walls, and the third one is even a tefach, so that is going to be okay. One second. Good. So effectively what the Ramah is saying is that this case of the Rambam, the case when you have two parallel walls, that will not be valid for, right, two parallel walls with the pitikra does not help. That's what the Ramah says. But the Rambam and the Mechaber say that two parallel walls with the pitikra helps. And according to the Mechaber Rambam, the case of Nirim Bachutz makes more sense. Now, is the Rambam closer to the Rush number one, which was Rachel's preferred approach? Or is the Rambam closer to Rush number two, which Rachel preferred a little bit less?
Could you say that the Siyamim somehow make a Psuras HaPesach?
So, I don't think anyone is saying that, right? In other words, Psuras HaPesach requires Konamikan, Konamikan, Konagaba, that you have something here, and right on top. I don't think anyone's saying that the Pitsimen themselves are at Surat HaPetach. I have not seen that. But you get an impression, I think, that the Rambam is very similar to the Rush number two. Right? The Rush number two is basically saying that P Tikra itself helps. Adkan. But we, on the level of Doiraisa, Pitikra itself helps. Midrabbanan, we need something more. So what we need more is just a check, a tiny little bit on the outside. That's good enough. So even Nirin Bachutz helps, because on the level of Doiraisa, Pitikra itself would help. The Rambam is saying something like that. But the Rambam is saying that on the level of the Oraisa, Pitikra only helps when you have the Pitsimen, when you have ballasts. What the Rambam is saying, I think, is the Rush, but he's saying the Rush on the level of the Oraisa, and he's allowing us to say Pitikra on that third side because of the ballasts. That's the way I understand it. Basically, lahalacha, you should not try to use pitikra to make your sukkah, because it gets a little bit complicated. And that's what the Rambam concludes. Don't build a sukkah with pitikras. Right? The Mishnah Berurah, however, comments that b'diyeved, we can rely on the Rambam's shita of pitikra. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
Is it common for the Ramah to say something like, Lahalaki, you can do this, but don't? Like that.
Yeah, it's not like uncommon. In other words, the Ramah was very frum. And you know, the Ramah would sometimes say that there are shitos like this, but you should not rely on them. I think that not at all uncommon that the Rambam would say that. One second. Can you see me?
Yes, we can see you.
You can see me. And you can see the screen? Ah, okay, excellent. I just lost you for a second. Yes, I think that's pretty standard that the Rambam would say that. It's weird on some level. Like, if you want to teach dinim, this is like the worst type of thing to do. Because like the students are going to say like, okay, so Lamaisa, what do I do? Right? So the answer is, well, don't do it. But if you did it, it's okay. That gets like very complicated. But I think that's really the way the halacha emerges. Okay, should we go on to the next Gemara? Let's try to move on. Yeah, at least. Okay. Stop this. Okay, great. Next piece of Gemara, Zakhti Gemara. Tana. Psal hayotze min hasukkah nidon kesukkah. Okay, so the halacha is that if you have a psal hayotze min hasukkah, you have something that is sticking out from the sukkah. Psal is basically schach, right? Psolat goren v'yekev. So if you have psal that sticks out from a sukkah, so it has the halacha of a sukkah, and all is grand. Now, the Gemara asks, "My psal hayotze min hasukkah? What exactly is it? What is psal hayotze min hasukkah mean?" So the Gemara says that Amar Ula konem hayotzim la'achore hasukkah. It is the kanim this sticks, the schach, that stick out, that protrude from the back of the sukkah. That's what it means. The second, the Gemara asks, "I v'habi inon shalosh tefanos." Don't you need three walls? So the Gemara answers, "Well, you got three walls." Then the Gemara says, "V'bidika v'habi inon hechsher sukkah." Don't you need the requisite, the proper size of the sukkah? So the Gemara says, "Yeah, we got that also." Then the Gemara asks, "V'habi inon silasam ruba mechamosa." Don't you need more shade than sun? The Gemara asks, "V'diika." The Gemara says, "Yeah, you have that also." Ihachi ma'ala memra. So then what's the chiddush, right? Basically, the Gemara is saying, "Yeah, this totally works. This is it has everything that you need it to have." So if that's the case, of the Gemara, ma'ala memra. What's the chiddush? So mahu detema ho ulgavai avidi lebarai lo avidi emalo. Kamash Malan. I would have said that since these walls is made for the inside, not for the outside, I would say it does not work. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that it does work. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the way this case looks is Azai. Here, let me, 1 second. The way this case looks is, I'm going to try to share the screen. I took some pictures from the back of the Sifta Gemaras. Let's see if this works. Oh, you just have to rotate it. Okay, not such a... Can you see that bottom picture? You see the bottom picture over there? It's like sticking out?
Yeah.
So what we have is you have a regular sukkah, which is the enclosed area. Everything is grand. And then you have some branches that stick out behind the sukkah. And there's really three walls, right? One, two, three. You have three walls that are sticking out. Zuck the Gemara, since this has the proper dimensions of a sukkah, everything is glorious sukkah. You have three walls. You have 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. It has more shade than it has sun. So everything is amazing. So Zok the Gemara, it is a kosher sukkah. What's the chiddush? Well, the chiddush is I would have thought that this wall is intended for the inside, not for the outside. And therefore, it is not a kosher sukkah because the wall is going the wrong direction. Zuck the Gemara, no, nonetheless, it is still a kosher sukkah. That's what we saw so far. Ad kan. Okay. I think this is the first part of the Gemara. Now, if you remember, the Gemara earlier was discussing this idea of directions that the wall go in, correct? Right? The Gemara mentioned this idea both in the context of the pitzimin, according to Rashi, right? Rashi said that the only svara in version 2 of the Gemara, why love would not help, is because the pitzimin are intended for the inside, not for the outside. This yisod that walls have direction was mentioned earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara rejected that yisod according to the Gemara completely rejected that yisod with respect to Lavud, because Lavud is a complete wall, and therefore, even if the wall goes the wrong way, it still is going to be kosher. Nonetheless, the Havamin of our Gemara is to bring that approach back. That seems to be the mahalach of this Gemara. So far, so good. I'm not sure if I lost you or not. I'm just having difficulty seeing people on my screen.
All good.
That was good. Okay, thank you. I'm not like such a Zoom expert, and sometimes when I share my screen, I lose my ability to like see the attendees at the shir, which is what just happened. So I am looking at very beautiful pictures of a sukkah, but I cannot see any of you. So please speak up if you want to say anything. You can see me, correct? I still
yes.
exist?
Yeah. Yep.
You still exist and we can see you.
Okay, excellent. I'm not wearing my invisibility cloak today. Gevaldik. So approach number one in the Gemara is that we're talking about the back of the sukkah. The schach sticks on the back of the sukkah. That is called psal hayotzei min hasukkah. Next mahalach in the Gemara. Rab of Rav Yosef, Amri Tavayhu, hacha bekonim hayotzim lifnim me hasukkah. Right, the case is that the let's try this again. Right, the case is that you have one wall of the sukkah that protrudes more than the other walls. Do I have this? Right, there is one wall of the sukkah that protrudes more than the other walls.
Rabbi Schwartz, just sometimes we see your email if you want to close that tab.
Right. The problem is I took these pictures, I sent them to my emails.
Okay. Sorry.
So that's the great challenge over here.
If you double click on that JPEG at the bottom, will you get the file of the pictures?
If I double click on
look at the bottom of your browser tab there, see where it says. Yeah. So if you double click on that thing, will you magically get a file with them?
I don't see anything. I don't see anything.
We just won't look at your email. It's okay.
Okay. I mean, I don't think there's any emails showing, right? It's just that you could see who sent me an email, correct?
Right, just the inbox.
Right. So, again, I'm having difficulty also picking up this exact picture that I am looking for. But basically what case number two is that you have one sukkah wall that extends beyond the other sukkah walls. And because one sukkah wall goes further than the others, so the halacha is a sukkah needs three walls. In this case, what I really have is a sukkah with two, where I am. If I'm nearing the entrance to the sukkah, what I have is, when I'm nearing the entrance of the sukkah, I only see two real walls. I don't see a third wall. Yeah, let me... One of the walls extends, protrudes very far. Consequently, I don't, at that area near the beginning of the sukkah, one does not have three complete walls. Let's maybe close all of this up and we'll try to do this again. And maybe we can get this normally. Okay, let's try this again. Somehow I don't seem to have the right picture, but we'll do a share screening and I'll do it by hand. Okay, yeah, let's clear this. Psala yotzei min hasukkah, according to mahalach number two in the Gemara, is you have a gorgeous sukkah, right? This is a beautiful sukkah. And the sukkah has its schach on top, beautiful purple schach, magnificent sukkah. In this area, there are three walls. The thing is that the schach continues, right, on this area. So if I'm standing over here, right, if I'm right over here, I am not inside three walls of a sukkah. I'm only inside two walls of a sukkah. The halacha, nonetheless, is that psal hayotzei min hasukkah, that a sukkah extension is kosher. This is extension of the sukkah in that since it's a kosher sukkah in the back, since it's a kosher sukkah, go like this. Since it's a kosher sukkah.
It doesn't seem like such a chiddush because we said two walls and a tefach is a kosher sukkah.
Two walls and a tefach is a kosher sukkah, right? So what's that? That means if I have two walls and I have a tefach, that whole sukkah is kosher. The seven tefachim by seven tefachim makes it a that makes it a kosher sukkah. Absolutely.
But the chiddush is it only that very back area that's kosher, or is it the entire area that's kosher? Mm-hmm. If it's covered
exactly,
stuff?
You see, in this case, that little wall, that little tefach, allows me to use my imaginary extension, and it makes it kosher until the edge of that other wall. So the border of the sukkah would be here. The idea of psal hayotzei min ha-sukkah is that even this outermost area is going to be kosher. Even the area that extends beyond where the schach is going to be kosher as well.
Now
that's
psal
hayotzei min ha-sukkah pshat too.
Now you're saying extending beyond both walls.
It extends beyond, what do you mean?
Extending beyond one wall is your simple picture of the tefach and two walls.
That's A,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and now what you've done is you've extended side two, which is a full wall, and you're extending side one, which is a partial wall.
In case A or case B?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just looking where you put the dotted lines to kind of differentiate.
So the dotted lines, I think, in the classical case, right, the Shtayim Kol Chasson, the Shlishis Afilo Tefach, my boundary of the sukkah is where the wall is. And the halacha says that I have three complete walls because that little bit on the third wall, the halacha extends it until the end. So I am never outside of sukkah walls. Right? Rashi had that expression like on Daf Gimel and a few other places, that the idea of the Shlishis Afilu Tefach is we just draw that line all the way. So wherever I am surrounded by three walls. Now we are creating a case that I am not surrounded by three walls. This person, right, is only in an area that has two walls. Now, how come...
Rabbi Schwartz, I'm seeing B and A is the same because we would just say that that side one that's foreshortened in B would just extend with the dotted lines.
So I think the idea is that in A, that extension of the line only takes me to the minimum size of seven tefachim of a sukkah.
Ah, thank you.
Right? It doesn't...
Now that makes sense.
It doesn't extend beyond that. What we're saying now is that even area beyond that extra bit is going to be kosher. That is called psal hayotzei min ha-sukkah, according to approach two. So approach one is it's the back of the sukkah, the schach that hangs out at the back. Approach two is that I am in an area that does not have the proper amount of sukkah walls, and it still is going to be kosher. That's approach two. Approach three in the Gemara. You know what? Actually, let's go back for a second. If you want to turn earlier in the Gemara on Daf Dalet. On Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. So if you remember, the Gemara over there had a case something like this. Let's say this sukkah is above 20 amos tall. So what I have to do is I build a stage. Like those of you who have been to Mount Sinai in the social hall, there's like a stage that just is up there. You build a stage. So from the stage, it's not 20 amos to the ceiling anymore. Rashi had a chiddush there on Daf Dalet that once my stage has three halachic walls. So then the schach that protrudes beyond the stage is going to make this area kosher based on psal hayotzei min ha-sukkah. A sukkah extension is considered a good sukkah. Rashi said that if you look on Dalet Amud Aleph, Rashi has that like the first Rashi in the medium wide lines. Right, Rashi writes, it's the fifth line in the Rashi on Dalet Amud Aleph, Kshera Kol HaSukkah. Right, in this case, when you build the itzdaba, you build that platform, the whole sukkah is kosher because it has three walls. The kosher sukkah is even beyond that wall that we say that it extends, etc. According to Rashi, this is the din of psal hayotzei min hasukkah, that the area on the outside is going to be kosher. Now, there are many rishonim who disagree with Rashi over there. And many Rishonim say that you cannot say Psal HaYotzei Min HaSukkah in that case. Because in that case, the Skach, right, let's say here, right, this is above 20 Amos, right? So this is now 5 Amos above 20. It's 25 Amos. So if I have a platform of 5 Amos, so, okay, it's kosher above the platform. But the area beyond the platform can't be kosher because the schach over there, by definition, is pasul. Psal HaYotzei Min HaSukkah is I have kosher schach and just invalid walls. However, in this case, the argument goes that the schach above 20 amos is pasul schach. And those who argue with Rashi say we cannot apply Psal HaYotzei Min HaSukkah on invalid schach. Okay, but that is all within approach two of the Gemara, the approach of Rabban Rav Yosef, that Psal HaYotzei Min HaSukkah is a sukkah extension insofar as I do not have three real walls. Approach three in the Gemara. Rabba Bar Bar Chana Am Reb Yochanan, Lo nitzrucha elo la sukkah she ruba tzilasa meruba mechamasa, umi uta chamasa meruba mitzilasa. Right? The case is, imagine this is like the bird's eye view of the sukkah. Right? So I have this area is tzilasa meruba mechamasa. And this part of the sukkah is chamasa meruba mitzilasa. No? I have a lot of schach over here. This area is very sparsely populated with schach. The sukkah is mostly more shade. Ruba, tzilas and rume chamasa, right? Actually, I should make it a little bit more to make it clear that this is rove, right? This area is more shade. There's a minority of the sukkah that is more sun.
Rabbi Schwartz,
yes.
I'm sorry. It's just when it says umi uta hamasa meruba mitzilasa, that means that the little bit of hama is greater than the tzal. Like so, the word
I think it means like this: that a minority of the sukkah is hamasa meruba mitzilasa.
Ah, thank you.
Right. So the whole sukkah, the majority of the sukkah, is more shade. There is a minority of this sukkah, assuming this whole thing is the sukkah, a minority of it is more sun.
Thank you.
Since it is viewed as a single sukkah, we allow this to be kosher. And that means that if I have somebody who is sitting in an area, right, of more sun than shade, you could have someone sitting in the sukkah and getting a suntan. Because it is psal hayotzei min hasukkah. It's all part of one sukkah. It's a sukkah extension. The hechsher of the sukkah, the kosherness of the sukkah, spills over. And therefore, this person who is in the sunny area of the sukkah gets the mitzvah of sukkah, all is grand. Ma yotze yotze me hechsher sukkah. It is something that is not part, it's not yotze Right? The word yotzei, according to approach one, means it's yotzei min ha-sukkah, it's protruding at the back. According to approach two, yotzei means it is an extension lengthwise of the sukkah. According to approach three, yotzei does not mean extension, but it means something that left the normal status of kosher sukkah. That is yotzei min ha-sukkah. It left the normal status of kosher sukkah. That's approach three. But it is a big chiddush that you can actually get a suntan inside the sukkah. Approach four in the Gemara. Reb Oshia Amar, lo nitzrucha ela leschach paso pachos mishlosha v'sukkah kitana. Uma yotze, yotze mitoras sukkah. Okay, so I have a tiny sukkah. My entire sukkah is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, a tiny sukkah. I have in this tiny sukkah, I have some schach puzzle. I have less than 3 tefachim of schach puzzle over here. It's like, I don't know, a piece of metal. I have more than 4 tefachim of kosher schach. Right, this whole area is kosher schach. That's more than 4. I have less than 3 tefachim of schach puzzle. This entire thing is going to be kosher. And once again, I can sit down underneath the puzzle schach. Right, Reb Oshia says, lo nitzucha el schach puzzle pachos mishlosha b'sukkah katana, uma yotze yotze mitoras sukkah. Right? It's not a sukkah. Psala yotze min ha-sukkah means this area is not sukkah at all. Right? It's not sukkah at all because it's covered with a piece of metal. That's not sukkah. But it still is psala yotze min ha-sukkah, and it still is going to be kosher.
That fits with the Itztaba one, where it's, according to Rashi, where it's pasul schach.
Okay, right. In other words, you're saying that according to this approach, they say psala yotzei min ha-sukkah on pasul schach. So then, it would make sense what Rashi said on Daf Daled that I extend the sukkah. Although you recognize that in order to say that, you have to put answer 2 in the Gemara together with answer 4 in the Gemara. Right? What Rashi is saying on Daf Daled is one of two things, right? Rashi on Daf Dal is saying, I have my stage, and the area that extends past the stage is over 20 amos. We ask the kasha, it's pasul schach. So the answer is, well, in case 4 of the Gemara, you have psali yotzei min ha-sukkah on pasul schach, right? That's what you're suggesting, Tanya.
Yeah.
Is that correct? But case 4 of the Gemara does not enable us to go beyond that minimum size of a sukkah.
Right? So you have to use lots. I see. You have to collapse different mechanisms.
In order to use Rashi's, in order to get to Rashi's conclusion on Daf Daled, I need to somehow combine approach 2 with approach 4.
I see.
Okay. Maskefla Rav Hoshia. Right, so this is like 7 lines to the bottom. So Rav Hoshia asks a question. Lo yehe ela avir. Va'avir pachos mishlosha tefachim b'sukha katana mi pasul. Right, he asks Akash, he says, I don't understand. What's the chiddush, basically? Right, if I have a sukha katana, I have a sukha that is 7 by 7. And I have less than 3 tefachim of avir, right? I have air space, right? Less than 3. So it's going to be a kosher sukkah. So here also, the schach pasul should be no worse than avir. If anything, we learned in the Gemaras earlier that avir is more chomer than schach pasul. Avir invalidates a sukkah with 3 tefachim. Schach pasul only invalidates a sukkah with 4 tefachim. So the Gemara asks, Well, what's the chiddush according to you approach for in the Gemara? Even if it would be avir in the tiny little sukkah, our 7x7 sukkah, even if this would be airspace, it would be kosher. Certainly, if I have schach puzzle, it should be kosher. Because we know that schach puzzle is less of a psul than avir. So, Amarle Reb Abba, Zemitz Taref. V'yishenim tachtov, v'zeh mitztarev v'ein yishenim tachtov. Reb Abba answers that there is a difference between avir and this case. In our case, let's go like this. It's just a raise, right? In our case, right, I have a sukkah of 7x7, and this is like metal, right? So in this case, up to Rashi, in explanation of the Gemara, I'm allowed to sleep over here. I get my full mitzvah, but you're not allowed to sleep under the avir, right? That's forbidden. Avir pachos mishlosha, you're not allowed to sleep under. But you are allowed to sleep over here, meaning that you can be in a sukkah, like the way we said it a minute ago. I could be in a sukkah and I'm sitting underneath a piece of metal and I fulfill my mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. By avir, I could not be underneath the airspace and get my mitzvah. Avir is more chamor, ein yeshenim tachtov. You can't sleep underneath the avir. But the schach puzzle, you are allowed to, the schach puzzle, you can sleep underneath it. So the Gemara asks, well, one second, this is like an impossibility. Umi ikamidi ditzdirufe mitztarev v'hu atzmo eno kasher. How can you have something that combines to give the sukkah its requisite dimensions, but it is not kosher as schach? In our case, right, I need this piece of metal to make it a minimum size 7x7 sukkah. Well, how could it be that you have something that combines to create the shear of a sukkah? V'hu atzmo eino kosher. How could you use a piece of metal to be machshir the sukkah? How's that possible? Zakti Gemara Amreb Yitzchak ben Oyashiv. In, we have such a case. We have something called tit hanarok yochiach. What exactly is tit hanarok?
Plaster. Or mud.
Mud. I think mud is a better translation than plaster. In the sense of it's got to be something. Rashi says it's ro'i lahariko mikli likli. It's a very liquidy, viscous substance that you can pour. There is a difference in halacha between dough and batter. Right? In Hilchos Chala, for example, everyone holds that there's a chiv of chala on dough. Batter, which means it's very loose, right? There is a question whether there's a chiyav of challah on batter. Most assume that there is a chiyav of challah on batter if you end up baking it. It's like if you would theoretically, like pancakes, theoretically could be chayav and challah because we assume that frying is the halachic equivalent of baking. Right? Cooking is cooking in water. Frying is halachically the same as baking. Pancake batter is, right, it pours from keli to keli, correct? Unlike dough, if you try to pour it, it's going to like glob out, right? Dough is by no stretch a liquid. So tit hanarok is something that is akin to batter. Tit hanarok yochiach, this tit hanarok, this mud, liquidy mud, will be a proof. shemitzaref la'arbaim sa'a, v'hatov yobo lo aso bo tevila. Right? In order to have a mikvah that's kosher, you need an area of 40 sa'a. It's supposed to be 40 sa'a of water. Let's say you have a basin that's exactly 40 sa'a, but some of it is mud. Again, you probably do not want to go to a mikvah like this. We'll just leave it like that. But you have some mud, right, in the mikvah. So if you would be toivel in the mud itself, you're not yotze the mitzvah of tevila. Right? If you go and you dive in right over here, you're not yotze. But this muddy area is mitztaref. It combines to give the entire mikvah the dimension of 40 sa'ah. So the way the Gemara is saying it is that we have something that combines to the shi'ur of X, but you cannot use it. Just like in our Gemara, that metal plate creates a sukkah, even though metal is invalid as a sukkah. So here also, the titanarok, that mud combines to the shi'ur of a mikvah, but it itself is invalid as a mikvah. Okay. Now, what's the problem with this equation? Right? The Gemara is equating, again, that metal bar to the titanarok. Yeah. Tamar?
I just wanted to clarify when it says that if you're a tovel in it, it does it mean when the whole mikvah is full of teeth, or do you mean when it's water and teeth? Because so, if it was the way you said water and teeth, then it would not be similar, because you can sleep under the metal pole, but here he says you cannot tovel on the side and has the teeth.
Exactly.
But I thought my understanding was that if you tovel in all teeth.
Yes, so you're right. The way I said it was not precise. Rashi writes at the second line, "Hatovel bo zot Rashi ba'arba'im sa'a shekulo titnarok." Right? If I immerse in an entire mikvah of mud. Apparently, my grandfather, before he moved to Faltachen, lived in a town called Vlade de Vloda, which means Valley of Mud or something in Romanian. I'm pronouncing it totally wrong.
Vladimiresh, maybe.
I remember the word. I have to ask my father again, because my Romanian is my Romanian, non-existent. But I remember he said that he was born in an area near Faltachen called the Valley of Mud. So if you're in mud itself, that does not count as tevila. And therefore, it's an exact parallel to our case, that if I would have a sukkah which is completely metal on top, that's puzzle. But in this case, where I have a little bit of metal, it can combine to give the sukkah the correct dimensions of a sukkah, just like the titanarok gives the mikvah the correct dimensions of the mikvah. Okay.
Sorry, didn't we say that you can sleep underneath the metal pasul schach? And here, are we saying that the area that has the titan arok you cannot toivel in?
Right, so that's what I said at the beginning until Tamar corrected me.
Again, 2 seconds
If I have a mikvah that has titan arok in it, and the titan arok is combining with the water in the mikvah to give me 40 sa'ah, that's good. Right, so I could, again, remember, if the whole mikvah is 40 sa'ah, inevitably you're going to be tovel. 40 sa'ah is the minimum size that humans can use. Right, so inevitably you're going to be tovel in that mud. But if the whole mikvah is mud, it's no good. Right, that's what our Gemara is getting at. Okay,
thank you.
So that's just chazer. There are four approaches in our Gemara as to the din of psala yotze min sukkah. Either it's the stuff that protrudes from the sukkah at the back, or one wall of the sukkah extends very far, or two cases where the schach is problematic. Either the case where the schach is problematic because it is part of the schach is chamasa meruba misilasa, or the case is that it's problematic because part of the schach is schach puzzle. Four approaches in the Gemara. How do we pask in the halacha?
The second one?
The second one. What's your evidence to that?
That if you look in the Gemara, I have a little gimel next to that option.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty good evidence. In other words, you have a little letter gimel of konim ayotzim with nimen ha-sukkah umashcha bahadei sukkah. The thing is that that case makes it. That's in Tafresh Lamed Aleph Se'if Zayin. That case makes it, that the sukkah extension in the sense of you make it longer. But for some reason, the printer of the Gemara skipped Tafresh Lamed Aleph Se'if Vav, which is the previous Mahalach in the Gemara, when the schach extends to the back of the sukkah. Somehow the printer did not put a letter there when he should have. So that case also makes sense. And the Rush tells me that actually we paskin like all four cases in the Gemara. The Rush argues the last line in the Rush in Se'if, in Simen Lamed Hey, the Rush writes that the halacha is like all of the Perushim. So we pass it like all four Perushim. That's the way the Rush said it. It is interesting that the Rif never quotes this Gemara of Psala Yotze Min HaSukkah. The Rif is supposed to paskin like the Gemaras. That's his job. The Rif completely omits this Gemara of Psala Yotze Min HaSukkah. So the Rush is saying that all four Perushim are correct. The Rif does not quote it at all. It's completely absent. It's completely absent from the Rif. It's kind of striking. So maybe next time we learn Emir Tzashem, we'll see that Ran on Daf Tes, B'dapei Harif, where the Ran comments on these halachos. But what we know so far is A, that it's a good idea to look in the Ein Mishpat, B, that the Ein Mishpat sometimes misses stuff, and that the Rush feels that all four Perushim are correct, and Tzarechi, and how come the Rif does not quote it? Okay, any questions or comments, Chavra? Hi, Zoe.
I have a question. In the previous daf, we were saying that we had a whole very long conversation about how Avir is more chamor because the shear was smaller. That doesn't, or the like the shear to
invalidate, right.
Exactly. That doesn't seem to be at play here at all. Is that, are we rejecting that?
Well, I think our Gemara is coming from the baseline assumption that Avir is more chamor. It's just giving another way that it's more chamor. The way Rashi learns the Gemara, at least, again, next week we'll see the Ran, who understands it differently, is that Rashi is saying that part of the chumra of Avir is that Ein Yishenim Tachtov. I'm not allowed to sleep underneath it. Right, as opposed to the schach puzzle, I'm allowed to sit and sleep underneath that metal bar. And that's like another chumrah, right? Or I'll say it like this. The way I read the Gemara is coming from the assumption that we know Avir is more chamor. And therefore, we ask, how could it be that Avir is no right? How could it be? Or the Gemara asks the question, excuse me, what's the chiddush of the schach pasul? Because even avir would be okay. Right? And like we noted a few times, the din of avir is only when the avir goes coast to coast. Right? It goes from straight across the sukkah. That's the din of avir. Did I answer your question?
Mostly. There was one thing that you said that was a little bit unclear to me, which was this isn't adding in it. Sorry, I can't recreate it now. There was something about how pasul schach. It's okay.
The Gemara's question is what's the chiddush that pasul schach less than three tefachim does not invalidate the sukkah when even avir does not invalidate the sukkah?
Okay.
So to that, the Gemara answered, well, there is a difference where there is a chiddush by avir. There is a chiddush by schach pasul. The chiddush is that you could sit underneath the schach pasul. And that's really what the Gemara was getting at. And there is a chiddush.
Okay,
Rachel, like you wanted to say something a minute ago?
Yeah, I don't know if this is just really like a statement of dissatisfaction or if it's really a question, but is it typical to have... I guess different commentators say that we follow like all of the options than Gemara, even when they require different limudim. Like, I guess because it requires understanding Yotze differently, like I can, between like the first two and the last two, I can see someone saying, oh, the both the first two are good or both the last two are good, but
not both.
I guess I'm a little.
Yeah, so again, I think the question is, do we assume that the four approaches are disagreeing la halacha, or are they just disagreeing in terms of drawing the diagram? What the Rush is saying is that the four approaches in the Gemara are not disagreeing la halacha at all. Yes, they translate the word yotze differently, correct. And they're drawing different diagrams, correct. But at the same time, right, the Rush is assuming that all the four approaches by definition are agreeing. Or the Rush is saying, I have no reason to assume that they disagree.
Right, I guess because in addition to translating Yotze differently, I would also group them as, like the latter two have more questions relating to the Sfah, and the first two, I guess I would categorize as more questions relating to the walls.
I think that's true.
So to me, that's a little more fundamental.
I mean, that's actually a good way of formulating it. Approaches one and two in the Gemara are saying chidushim within the walls, and approach three and four of the Gemara are saying chidushim within the schach. Approach one in the Gemara seems not to be a chiddush at all. Right. The Gemara says, "Oh yeah, mechitzas can work in two directions. Yay." But you're right. The approaches one and two are saying something very different than approach three and four, but that doesn't mean they're disagreeing. It just means that they're drawing the case differently. The Rush doesn't really give evidence that they are all in agreement. The Rush just asserts it. He writes, Memra dechohani amoroi hilchasininhu. Right, that's the last line in the Rush, that the statement of all these Amoraim is correct. Okay.
Does that imply we can graph them onto each other and make a hybrid like we wanted to do
for Rashi? So that's going to be the further question within Rashi. Right? In other words, what Rashi is getting at is a hybrid approach. It only could make sense if you accept all four of them. That much, I agree, or at least numbers two and four. But even so, lav dafka, can you, I like what you said, can you graft one onto the other? Correct. Okay, excellent. So I'll pick up next week in Yirtzeh Hashem. And again, there is a chance that I might take either next week or for the week after off, I'll give you a heads up. Okay. Thank you very much, Deborah. Thank you for coming to learn.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good night.
Shabbos.